Thank you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
Well, today we are beginning a brand new series entitled The Nine. And we're going to be talking today, and we're going to be talking over the next 8 weeks, so 9 weeks total, about the nine virtues that God wants to grow in our lives, that God wants to develop in our lives. And these nine virtues that we're going to be talking about are going to affect every single one of our relationships. Whatever that relationship looks like, whether it's a husband, wife, kid, coworker, neighbor, mom, dad, whatever it is, these nine virtues are going to affect every single one of those relationships. So let me invite you to turn on your Bible or turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 22 and 23 this morning. If you're using the Bible in the row in front of you, Galatians chapter 5 is going to be on page 975. If you don't have a Bible, when we're finished here in a few minutes, if you'll come see me in the Home Life Center right over here, I'll give you a copy of the Bible for your very own. Man, that's a great area to check out some resources that we have for your family in different stages of life. If you're visiting this morning, welcome. Bring me that Connect card. I'd love the opportunity to put a name and a face together, and love the chance just to say welcome. And man, if the Lord leads you to make some type of a decision, or maybe you have a prayer request, write it on that Connect card and bring it to me when we're finished this morning in the Home Life Center. I'd love nothing more than to walk with you in 2017, however the Lord may be leading you. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, actually, that's going to be our primary text today and throughout these 9 weeks that we're moving forward in this series. In Galatians 5, 22 and 23, the Apostle Paul, he writes these words that we're going to read today under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and here's what he writes. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the nine virtues of the fruit of the Spirit, they've been described in some interesting ways. They've been described in one way that if you gave each one of those nine fruits of the Spirit, each one of those nine virtues that Paul writes about there, if you gave each one of them a different color and then you put it on a canvas, the portrait that would come forth is a portrait of Jesus. Because each one of those virtues, those nine characteristics, those nine fruits of the Spirit are all virtues and characteristics of who Jesus is. And what the Holy Spirit wants to do for those of us who are followers of Jesus, who are disciples of Jesus, is He wants to produce in us these nine virtues of Himself, of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit in 2017, here's what He wants to do if you're a follower of His. The Holy Spirit wants to mold us into the very image of Jesus as He produces these nine virtues in our lives. I'm so grateful for our partnership with Lake Point Church. They enable us to utilize and make available some really, really great resources, many of which are in our Home Life Center. And they're helping not only our church, but other churches all around the globe when it comes to growing strong families. That's one of our goals here at Arapahoe Road. That's one of our initiatives, is to help us all grow strong in our families. And so the words and the resources that we're going to be using in this series are from Dr. Steve Stroop and his great staff over at Lake Point. And I really believe that God wants to use them in our lives, in our families, in this church. And so when you exit today, I want to make sure that you're aware of something. Down here on the steps, there are two baskets and they're filled with some great resources. These nine kits is what they're called, the nine kits. Please make sure every family picks up at least one of these kits. I think we've got 300 of them down here. So if everybody, every family can get one, that'll be great. right? And you go, what's in there? It's going to be some great resources to help us continue growing strong in our families and to help us have conversations about each one of these 9 characteristics, 9 virtues that we're going to be studying over the next 9 weeks. Here's your homework. When you pick up one of these little packets, one of these little kits, each week there's going to be a specific resource in that kit that's going to help you have a conversation, just one conversation a week, about the specific virtue we're talking about. And so over the next 9 weeks, you'll have 9 different conversations with your spouse, with your family, with your roommates, with whoever it is that you're close with in this season of life. And through that, God's going to use those conversations to help you produce this fruit in your life and to help your family grow strong. So make sure you pick up a kit when we leave this morning. Now, what I really think is interesting about this particular passage of Scripture in Galatians 5, about these 9 different fruits of the Spirit, is that there's an agricultural metaphor that's being used here. It's really, really interesting. All throughout the Bible, all throughout Scripture, there are numbers of agricultural metaphors, farming, ranching metaphors that help us understand whatever the specific truth is that is trying to be conveyed in whatever passage it may be used in. And so think about that for a second. The farmer, if you're a farmer, you know some things about farming. You know from the get-go that all the crops, all the harvest, all the fruit is going to be dependent on something beyond yourself. It's going to be dependent upon God. And yet, the farmer knows he can't just sit there with the seed in the barn going, okay, God, I'm waiting. You do your work. Work your magic. No, the farmer knows he's got to work with God. He's got to take the seed out. She's got to take the seed out. And she's got to plant it and water it and nurture it and weed it and feed it and all that stuff. And then as the plants begin to bloom, God has to nurture it and take care of it. The farmer works with God to produce something of value in the end. That's not a hard concept to wrap our minds around. Well, the same thing is true as we talk over the next 9 weeks about what only God can produce in our lives. But we've got to make a choice. We've got to choose to cooperate with God in this process of our lives. One of the greatest chapters, mark this down, one of the greatest chapters that uses the reference of agriculture is John chapter 15. Write that down somewhere, John 15. The Gospel of John chapter 15. Let me just tell you this, I'll make you a challenge. If you will read John chapter 15, just that chapter, if you'll read that whole chapter every day this week, it will change your life. Now, I'll make you another challenge. If you'll read John 15 every day for the whole 9 weeks in this series, it'll change your family. And I'll even go one step further. If you'll read John chapter 15 every day this year, it'll change your legacy. I dare you to read John chapter 15. Listen to just one verse from John chapter 15. Jesus is talking, and in John 15 verse 4, he says these words right here. So great, so key for us as we're starting into this series. He says this. Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Jesus gives another agricultural metaphor, agricultural illustration. That he's this vine and we're the branches, his followers, his disciples. We're branches that are intended to be connected to the vine of Jesus. And the command is for us to abide in Jesus. If you keep reading, he says, and my word abides in you. So we come close to Jesus. Here's what Jesus is saying. When we dwell with Jesus in prayer, in worship, in the study, in the reading of the Word of God, very important. As we come near to Him and attempt to be in community with others who are trying to follow Him, become like Him in every area of our lives. That's when spiritual fruit begins to be produced. When we're abiding in Him and His Word is abiding in us. Think about it. It's that balance. It's that farmer, rancher balance, gardener balance. The balance of us working with Jesus together in our life to bear fruit. Now, as we begin to talk about this balanced life of working together, our life at work, the Spirit of God at work in us, we want to begin looking at the first of these nine virtues, these nine fruits that we read a moment ago from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. The first of those nine virtues that we read about is the virtue of love. Say the word love with me on three. One, two, three. Love. That's what we're talking about this morning, the virtue of love, the fruit of the Spirit known as love. It makes all the sense in the world when you think about it why we would start with love, because the Bible tells us that God is what? God is love. When you look at the Scriptures, when you abide in the Scriptures, what you're going to see is one of the Scriptures says that the proof that you and I are followers of Jesus, that we're Christians, is that other people will know us by something, and they will know us by our what? By our love. What's the greatest commandment according to Jesus? That we love God. And the second is like it, that we love our neighbor as ourselves. It's just saturated with love. It just makes all the sense in the world that we would begin this series in the first fruit of the nine that the Spirit of God would want us to focus on and produce in our life is the fruit of what? The fruit of love. So let me invite you to turn to the right just a little bit to another passage of Scripture that's going to help us define what this fruit of love looks like. Look with me on Ephesians chapter 3, just a couple of pages to the right. If you're using the Bible in the pew rack in front of you, it's going to be just two pages to the right on page 977. Look with me in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 at what the Apostle Paul writes about love. He says this, Ephesians 3, beginning of verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being what? Rooted and grounded in what? That's another agricultural language, isn't it? Being rooted, being grounded. Yeah. Being rooted and grounded in love, verse 18. May have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, in this passage, the Apostle Paul tells us that the kind of love that God wants to develop in us has four different dimensions. Love has, it says, a breadth. When it talks about breadth, think width, okay? The width, there's a wideness in this kind of love. There's a length, so there's a long love. There's a height when it comes to love, and there's a depth when it comes to love. It's really interesting, the word for love that we're looking at in the original language that the Bible was written in, it's a word that maybe you've heard of before. It's called agape love, A-G-A-P-E, agape. Agape love is the kind of love that God has for us. And it's the kind of love that God wants to develop in our lives as we stay connected to Him, the vine, as part of the branches. Okay, this fruit of love is going to be developed by God in our life. And it's the kind of love that God wants us to begin expressing and sharing with others. Agape love has been defined as unmerited favor. You might just want to jot that down somewhere. Agape love equals unmerited favor. Unmerited favor. I think agape love is indeed unmerited, but I also think agape love is unexpected. You get an unexpected gift at Christmas this year. I mean, hopefully you were expecting something, but then, wow, you weren't expecting that. That's agape love. It's unmerited, but it's unexpected. It kind of takes your breath away a little bit. Well, one writer defined agape love as unprovoked love. In other words, we didn't do anything to get God to love us this way. He just decided to do it. Why? Because that's who God is. God is what? God is love. He's agape love. No strings attached. He loves you for free. You don't have to do the dance to get the hug from God. He just loves you. Because he created you. You see, agape love is a strong love. It's a love that has breadth and it has length and it has height and it has depth. The kind of love that we see here in Ephesians 3. Let's look at each one of those very, very quickly this morning. First of all, agape love is a love of breadth, or it is a wide love. Let me just ask you this question this morning. How wide is your love? Because agape love is the widest love that there is. And God wants to develop in you a wide love. Think about that with me. Is your love wide enough just for you and your family? Is your love wide enough only to love people who are like you? Is your love wide enough to love people who just agree with you, who treat you well? Is that how wide your love is? Or might your love be expanded in 2017? Might it grow wider to love somebody you don't even know, to love a stranger? Maybe God wants you to grow your love wide so that you can love somebody that you do know, but you just don't like them. Wide love. Is your love wide enough to love both Democrats and Republicans? That's a wide love, isn't it? Yeah, only God can do that. You can't do that on your own. Only God can do that. Yeah. See, God wants you to have a wide love. How wide is your love? We talk about this every week, about loving our neighbor. Let me ask you this question as it pertains to wide love. Do you really love your neighbor? Because the width of your love is the question of how you really define who your neighbor is. How wide does your love really go? In another passage of Scripture, Romans 5:8, Paul writes about the width of the love of Jesus for people who just had some real issues, and those people are you and me. It's on the screen. It says this: but God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's how wide the love of Jesus is. God so loved the world, that agape love, that unmerited, unexpected, unprovoked love, that wide love with breadth, that's the kind of love that God wants to produce in us as we stay connected to him, as we abide in him, and his word abides in us. You want to know how your love growth is doing? Just check yourself the next time you're at a busy parking lot. And you and that person, blinker, blinker, blinker. All this love can be measured in a parking lot. In Ephesians 3, that passage goes on to talk about God's love Being not only wide, but being a long love. What does it mean by a long love? Listen for long love in another passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians 13, it's also known as what kind of passage? The love passage. Maybe you had that read at your wedding or you've heard that at a wedding. Listen to what Paul says. I think it'll be on the screen, actually. Yeah, it's on the screen. He says, it starts off, love is patient. Really interesting. Some of you may have translation that instead of the word patient, the words long-suffering are there. Long-suffering. That's the definition of patience, is it not? The ability to suffer long, to wait until someone improves or comes back around or grows and matures. It begins that way. Love is patient and what? It's kind. It does not envy or boast. It is not rude. Love is not arrogant. It's not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. We've all got some growth to do, do we not? Yeah. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing or trolling. But it rejoices with what? The truth. Watch this. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Say those last three words with me. Love never ends. Translation. Agape love. Unmerited love. Unexpected love. Unprovoked love is a long love. It never ends. Never ends. It's a long love. And sometimes when we love, we do so more in a sprint. Man, I'm gonna love. Short race is how you can sprint. Anybody in here a marathoner? One. We'll have a counseling session afterwards. Steve, you can't keep up a sprinter's pace the whole way through, can you not? Can't do that. Why? Because this is a short race or it's a long race. You can't sprint through love. You can't sprint through a marathon. Love isn't meant to be long. It's a long love. It's a long race. Life is meant to be a long race that must have a long love. Let me just ask you the question, how long is your love? And maybe you're sitting there going, how can I lengthen that kind of love? We already talked about it. Jesus has already said, if we will abide in Him and have His Word abide in us, and you and I must abide, the very nature of the word abide does not mean quickly. It means long. If we'll abide for a long time, day after day, faithful and consistent in prayer and in His Word, what gets produced over our life is a long love. Paul goes on to tell us in Ephesians 3 that agape love is not only a love that has breadth and has length, but it also has a height to it. Agape love is a high love. Look what Isaiah the prophet wrote. In Isaiah 55 verse 9, he writes, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." The truth is, there are a lot of people today that when they think about the word love, they immediately think of romantic love. They think of love that is based on how they feel or the emotions that they have around or with that person. And friends, listen to me here for a second. Feelings and emotions-based love is a low love. There's nothing wrong with feelings and emotions being connected with love, but if that's all you're going on, that's a low love. That's not a high love. See, a low love says, I will love you when I feel like loving you. Let me just ask you a question. What if you only went to work when you felt like it? You would get what? Fired. What if you just went to school? What if you just went to class when you felt like it? Would you make a good grade or a bad grade? Bad grade. You'd fail. And yet people are shocked when they lose their marriage and lose their relationships when they've only loved when they felt like it. Friend, I'm telling you, that's a low love. And God wants to birth in you a high love. He wants to grow in you a higher love. And yes, oh man, yes, it's wonderful when the emotion is there and the feelings are right in the still of the night. That's a great kind of love. But when the emotions and the feelings aren't there, then what? Low love is an if love. I'll love you if you please me. I'll love you if you're good to me. I'll love you if you do what I want you to do, when I want you to do it, the way that I want you to do it. I'll love you if you will initiate love. If you'll start it, I'll engage. If. High love chooses to love regardless. Jesus loved with a high love when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying to the Father saying, Father, if there's any other way that we can do this thing without me having to go to the cross, please let me know what it is. Nevertheless, not my will, but your higher will, higher ways, higher thoughts be done. That's a high love. It's a high love. Can I just tell you something? Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross for you. He just didn't. Jesus never once felt, oh, I just want to go and feel it. I want to feel the burn. No. He didn't want to feel the physical and the mental and emotional and spiritual hell that he was about to be inflicted upon. But he did it anyway. Why? Because agape love doesn't insist on its own way. It endures all things. And because true love, high love, agape love, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, love never ends. And Jesus' agape love on the cross, men and women, was a wide love. And it was a long love. And it was a high love. And Jesus chose to love us even when he didn't feel like it. Nevertheless, not my will, but your higher will, higher ways, higher thoughts be done. How high is your love? The agape love that God extended toward us is wide, it's long, high, finally it's deep. God's love is a deep love. And when we talk about deep love, we're talking about the cost of love. The cost of love. When we read Romans 5:8 earlier, we saw where it said, but God shows his love for us, toward us, and that while we're still sinners, that's how wide God's love is, while we're still sinners, wide love, Christ died for us. Deep love. Deep love. There's a big price tag to that kind of love. His love for you is as deep as death. You can post that one. Jesus' love for you is as deep as death. Every true loving act has a price tag on it. And the question is, how much are you willing to pay to love somebody? Yeah, what are you talking about? Well, Jesus said this about agape love that's deep. In John chapter 15, verse 13, he says, greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. Folks, that's a costly love. That is a love that is unmerited and unexpected and unprovoked. That's a deep love when someone is willing to pay a deep price like that to love you. When we see the price tag on love, the price tag often isn't about money, it's about time. Because you can always make more money, but you can't always make more what? More time. And so how much time will this love cost me? The price tag on love sometimes has to do with our energy. I'm about to engage some dads, about to engage some moms, some single dads, some grandparents, reparenting again in a different kind of a way. Man, can you relate? You get done with a long day at the office, you come home, now you've got a choice of how you're going to love. It's going to cost you from your depleted energy reserves if you want to go deep. All you want to do, if you're like me, all you want to do is, if I can just make it to my brown chair, oh, glory to God. It's Canaan right there. The promised land, glory. And sometimes that's where I end up. But I try to have a deep love as the Spirit of God's developing love in me. And what sometimes I'm met with is, hey, can you grab this out of the garage? Hey, can you help her with your, hey, can, because my life's normal just like yours. Unperfect just like yours. Imperfect just like yours. Energy, high cost to that kind of love. And you get to make the choice. And sometimes I dig down deep. And other times it's real easy. And other times I'm just like, okay. And sometimes I'm like, no, brown chair, everybody out. But you get to pay the price in that moment or not. And if you feel tired this morning and don't have much energy and you feel spent already on day 8 of 2017, still going to the gym, right? That restarts tomorrow, right? Man, if you're just like, man, forget all that. Just give me something I can hold on to. I need hope. I can't provide anything else. You're right. And if you feel that way, it may be because you're not drawn from a deep well of love. You're drawn from a shallow well of love. I'm not calling you shallow. I'm trying to use the scripture and hold a mirror up in front of you, in front of me. Because agape love, the kind of love only God can develop in you, is anything but shallow. It's deep. It's a deep, deep love. You go, how do you get a deep love like that? How do you get a love that's wide and long and high and deep? I want that kind of love in 2017. Friends, you can't get that on your own. Hear me, hear me. You can only develop that kind of love by being with someone who already exhibits and embodies it. And Jesus said, if you will abide in me, and my word will abide in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you're just going to get tired and frustrated and make more resolutions that you're not really going to ever keep. And that depth comes from daily abiding and daily cultivation over a long period of time of seeking the Lord and choosing to be obedient to His Word, to His Word in the very little things over a long period of time, and allowing the first of the 9 fruits to develop in your life that enables you to begin to be like Jesus. Please hear me. If you're sleeping or your neighbor's sleeping, give them an elbow in the ribs. They cannot miss this. You cannot be like Jesus apart from His Word. Because His Word says He was full of grace and what? Truth. And you can't know the truth unless you are abiding in Jesus and His Word. and His Word abides in you. This past weekend, there was a massive conference for millennials and college students and high school seniors in Atlanta, Georgia, called Passion. Louis Giglio led it. It's the 20th year that this Passion Conference has been led in that kind of a vein. And here's what Beth Moore said about truth and being like Jesus. Listen to this. This is a prophetic word for our day, if there ever was one. If you're a millennial or a student, listen to this word. You must get this. Beth Moore said, "You will watch a generation of Christians, set the Bible aside in an attempt to become more like Jesus, and stunningly, it will sound completely plausible. This, setting the Bible aside in an attempt to try and become more like Jesus, Beth Moore says, this will be perhaps the most clever of all the devil's schemes in your generation. Sacrifice truth for love's sake, and you will rise or fall based upon whether you will sacrifice one for the other. Will you have the courage to live in the tension of both truth and love?" Abide in Jesus. Let His Word abide in you, and you will begin to develop a wide and a long and a high and a deep love just like Him. That's what Jesus told us to do. He said in John 15, verse 5, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So stay close to Jesus this week. Abide in Him and in His Word. And as you do that day after day, the Spirit of God will develop the fruit of love in your life. I want to invite one of our ministry residents, Kevin Kusunoki, to come and to share just a few perspectives about abiding in love and having a fruit of love being developed in our life. And Kev will close us out this morning.
Thank you, Pastor, for that word. To have a love that is wide and long and high and deep, that's what we all strive for. That's what we've been called to do. I heard it said once that 90% of our calling is wrapped up into two things: the Great Commission to go and make disciples, and the Great Commandment to love God and to love our neighbors. So, and the other 10% then is what you do and where you do it. So if you're wondering what your calling is today, you don't know what you're supposed to be doing or where you're supposed to be doing it, well, there are several things that are undeniable and certain. We're to make disciples and we're to love. There's no way around that. We've been called to love. The issue is that it's a really hard thing to do. This past Christmas, my dad invited me to go bring coffee to a homeless shelter. And my initial response was, "Dad, it's Christmas. We've got presents to open. We've got family to be with. We've got a church service to go to. This is not the time to be doing homeless outreach." How selfish was I? And I knew it, and the Holy Spirit convicted me of that fact. So I reluctantly went, you know, because I was the minister of the family, and it would look awful if my dad went and I didn't go. But what I saw there was amazing. I saw my dad engaging with these people that society had cast aside, loving them in a deep way, giving up his time, giving up his resources to love them. And he knew them by name. He knew how many packs of sugar they wanted. He knew what was going on in their lives. And I sat back and I thought, man, I want to have this wide, long, high, deep love for these people that I don't even know. I wish I could have this love, but I don't. I think we struggle with the fact, how can we genuinely, like sincerely love wide, long, high, and deep these people that we don't normally love, or these people that we're not expected to love in the eyes of the world? And it's as Pastor David says, by abiding in Jesus. By abiding in Jesus. There was a study done in 2014 that sought to study the development of values in children. And what they found was very interesting. What they found was that children are likely to adopt their parents' values when they flow out of a close, positive relationship. So a child who is a Dallas Cowboys fan is a Dallas Cowboys fan because they have a close, positive relationship with their parents who are also Dallas Cowboys fans. And if they don't have that close, positive relationship, they'll go to whoever they have a close relationship with and adopt their values. If we are to love like Jesus, if we are to value the things he values, if we're to care about the people we're not expected to care about in wide ways, long ways, high ways, deep ways, then it's got to start with our relationship with him. The width, the length, the height, the depth of our love is dependent on the quality of our relationship with Christ. And so we got to be in the Word. We got to have that truth, and we got to be abiding in Christ.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our church website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning services at 9:30 a.m. Feel free to join us this week.